Welcome to the second episode of Uncle Takes, a podcast where we review movies and provide general opinions. We're your hosts, Monica and Tank. Our Uncle Take today is on the movie Life Partners, which came out in 2014. It's an hour and 35 minutes long. It stars Leighton Meester, Gillian Jacobs, and Adam Brody. So yeah, let's jump right in.
Those are the people. Yeah, it's directed by Susanna Fogel and written by Susanna Fogel and Joni Lefkowitz.
Yeah, I couldn't pronounce that either.
Yeah, so they wrote it. I believe one of them wrote Booksmart as well. So this movie is about two friends. We have Paige, played by Gillian Jacobs, who is a 29-year-old environmental lawyer and is straight. And then Sasha, played by Leighton Meester, who is a receptionist at some kind of real estate investment.
Construction something, right?
Yeah, some kind of business, international business firm. It doesn't matter. And they are friends. They don't live together, which I thought was different than the last movie we did. It was sort of a departure. And they are very close friends. They've been friends, seems like, since childhood, right? Is that the impression you got?
Yeah, I think so.
And apparently they don't date because they can't find anyone to sort of replicate the bond they have. Then they go on dates. Sasha's does not go well. Paige's does. She dates a guy named Tim, who is played by Adam Brody, who is Leighton Meester's real-life husband. And eventually they get married. The two of them fight, Sasha and Paige, over sort of the growing distance in their relationship now that Paige has more of her time taken up with Tim. And then they sort of make up at the end because they realize that... I don't know. I don't know exactly why they make up, honestly.
It happens very suddenly.
Or why they were fighting, honestly, also.
I think it's just growing distance as, you know, someone couples up. You can no longer be best friends, right? That's what they were going for?
Yeah. Right. So that's what they were going for, I thought. But it was sort of hard to tell if that's what sort of they portrayed, I guess. Because, you know, sort of talking about it, they start off with just sort of a little sequence of them being at a pride parade. And then I think a little thing of them watching Top Model.
Yeah, it's amazing. Two movies in a row, we're watching The People's Couch in a movie form.
The People's Couch. Yeah. So a lot of the backdrop of this movie is definitely sort of like the lesbian subculture. And I think that's because... Well, I don't know if it's because, but I think that was sort of something the writers wanted to portray. I think one of the two women, I think it's based on their lives. So it was sort of a backdrop. It wasn't a plot point much, but in like most of the scenes where they're talking, they're at like a lesbian bar and they have like a lesbians and Subaru scene. So you sort of get a lot of that throughout the movie. The fact that she's a lesbian is very incidental, which is, you know, fine, but it felt like the movie was very much wanting to portray a lot of scenes in those like settings, but also didn't have much story going on in those settings for a good amount of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a major theme. I don't know how, like, if there were 60 scenes, 55 of them had some sort of peculiar lesbian feature, which I guess not being a member.
Peculiar lesbian.
Oh, I may be giving away some information, but there are definitely some peculiarities that I'm just unaware of that might exist in the gay community that this shedded light on.
Right, because you haven't been in many lesbian relationships.
Yes.
So that makes sense. And this is something where, you know, again, out of our depth, we're doing a movie about female friendship, which we are not often privy to. But so going, but the conflict they have sort of starts immediately when Paige starts dating Tim. It's sort of as soon as Paige says that her date went not terribly, and she's agreed to a second date. You can see that Sasha is already a little bit pissed off or upset.
I thought that was a bit abrupt for your longtime friend to finally, like, have some level of interest in a guy and to just be immediately not supportive of it. It seemed like an overreaction.
Yeah, it sort of seemed like when they're first, you know, together talking about going on dates, they both seem sort of supportive of each other and like they want each other to date. I don't know if like Sasha just never wanted her friend to be happy or like have a successful date. She just thought she'd be on a sort of a string of terrible dates her entire life. But that's sort of like the impression you get kind of right away. Cause she's pissed right away. I think it's important to note she doesn't dislike the guy.
There's nothing really to dislike about the guy.
She almost never talks to the guy. I think they have like three scenes when they're on screen together. And they're all fine. Although it feels like there should be sort of more attention. One thing that's set up is that the guy quotes a lot of movies. Well, he quotes movies. It seems to be only two movies. It seems to be Talladega Nights and it seems to be The Big Lebowski.
Another major theme throughout this whole movie is just the director had to have loved the movie The Big Lebowski because it's peppered into like six scenes.
Well, I actually felt like they didn't like the movie and they just thought this guy was kind of a tool for like insisting that Paige watch this movie and like being surprised that she didn't enjoy the movie or hadn't seen the whole thing or whatever it was. And then Talladega Nights is mentioned several times. It seems like they were just like, what movies do guys like? And these were the two movies they thought of in 2014. Even though they're from drastically different time periods than each other, which is sort of a thing. Maybe they're just both generic guys movies. I don't know. Because these are the movies we watch, not Talladega Nights or Big Lebowski. We watch, you know, kind of lesbian character studies.
Yeah, they're great.
So, she's pissed off her friend is dating somebody. And then some months pass, and they sort of just get married? Or they get engaged? Sasha dates a couple people throughout this. She isn't dateless. It's not like she can't find a relationship. It's not clear that she wants one or doesn't want one. It's not really clear what Sasha wants the entire time. There's a subplot where she doesn't want to be a musician, but like that was her initial dream, was to eventually become a musician while working her day job, but she seems completely disinterested in it. And then she basically just doesn't do that or something.
Yeah, she has a change of heart. I think they're going for this growing level of frustration with the pool of single lesbians staying the same age. You know, the whole adage of, you know, the great thing about college girls is the older I get, they stay the same age, right? So every lesbian that's single is, I guess, in this younger demographic, and she's aging and not settling down and finding it tougher and tougher to date. Were you picking up on that?
I mean, it felt like she constantly had dates.
But with people that were young and immature and...
Right, but it seems like that was her choice, because at some point, Paige introduces her to a older professional, not older, but seemed like closer to their age, professional woman for the law firm.
And she was wholly opposed to it.
Yeah, and she was kind of really rude to her and very dismissive. She just sort of acts like petulant throughout the whole thing, but it's mentioned that she dated... First, they said her type was Cuban or Latino girls, which was sort of weird because that doesn't seem to be her type. And then it says she dated several women in a row who lived at home. But she has, like, you know, 10 partners throughout this movie, you know, mentioned. So it doesn't seem like she's having trouble. It doesn't seem like she wants a long-term stable relationship. It's hard to tell what she wants is sort of like what I was having trouble with. She just doesn't seem to want Paige to date anybody, but not even for a particular reason. There's not a lot of times when it seems like Paige is too busy to take care of her, or like to not to take care of her, but to, you don't see a lot of scenes of like Paige, like not, like, she went to Pride with her in the beginning, but then not going with her the next time type of thing. You see, like, they're together and she has to answer a phone call from the guy because his dad's house flooded or something.
Minor inconveniences as opposed to, like, huge middle fingers.
Yeah, and, like, the guy invited her out to celebrate winning the case when I think Sasha was planning a surprise party, which, like, was annoying, but it was just sort of, she didn't tell the guy that she was planning the surprise party, so he made a different plan, which, like, all of it just seems pretty, like, straightforward and, like, at worst annoying, but, like, didn't need to cause any kind of giant shift. I think at some point she says the line, you know, you still have someone to talk to at 2 a.m. and I don't. Nothing's changed for you. But you don't get the sense that she needs someone to talk to at 2 a.m. Like, Sasha doesn't seem to be... I mean, I guess she has that, like, thing where she goes to the drive-thru and cries sometimes. But what does she need to talk about? Is, like, you know, like, who is Sasha in this? Like, you know?
Just an angsty, aging lesbian who's finding it harder and harder. Okay.
When we say aging, she's 29. Yeah. She's not a lesbian spinster.
When is lesbian prime? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, she's still dating 19-year-olds or something. One of the girls she dated seemed to be about 15. She seemed incredibly young. She said she was still going to school. I assume she meant high school.
Oh. Well, didn't she meet at a bar, though?
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, well, there was sword fight. Okay, so one of the issues I have is I can't tell people apart that well.
Okay.
And there were a bunch of sort of skinny blonde girls. No, and I couldn't tell.
The same girl that she sword fought in the bar. But
there was at least two blonde girls she dated. One was named Mia and one was Vanessa.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell which one was which in each scene, which probably contributed to my lack of understanding of what was going on.
Gotcha.
So Sasha at some point gets fired from her job, which was just sort of her thing she did while she was writing music. Her parents seem to be paying her bills. They seem very supportive of her non-existent music career.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess the overall question is, what did Sasha want? And, like, what wasn't she getting from... Because there's conflict in this movie, but it seems like there doesn't need to be, I guess. Like, these friends still seem to like you. And none of these people are sociopaths. Like, Sasha's a little childish, but it's not like she's, you know, drugging people's alcohol and then letting them drive type of thing.
You know, Paige has her flaws. She's real hateable from the get-go.
See, I actually really liked her. I really don't enjoy Gillian Jacobs generally in the things I've seen her in.
I mean, I've seen her in Community. What else have you seen her
in? Right, I've seen her in the show Love, where her character... basically, both the characters in that show are just unpleasant people kind of throughout. And that seems to be the point, I guess. I hope. Otherwise, it's very poorly done. But I actually found her quite pleasant in this movie for most of it. She just seems kind of like nice and supportive. And I guess her thing is that she doesn't apologize and won't back down. But I guess if that was supposed to be the issue with her, I guess Sasha's childishness just seemed so much worse that, like, I didn't feel like she was... Like, the big sort of the through line to that plot is... She hits the guy's car as she was backing out of the driveway, yeah, and texting, and she refuses to pay for it because she said he was parked too close to her. She talks to a mom who you kind of get the sense she gets this behavior from.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually she apologizes and pays him, and that's sort of her character arc, is she learns to apologize, and that's sort of the point brought up in her fight with Tim at some point. Is that, you know, he feels like she doesn't apologize. But it's actually still about this same issue. Is he's talking about, oh, you should just pay the guy. And she's like, see, you don't support me.
You never take my side or something.
Yeah, you're not on my side. But the only examples of this ever happening throughout the film are this, like, this five, you know, scene arc with the same guy from next door. Who was parked very close to her. Seemingly stopped, but with all his kids in the car. So, I don't know what he was doing there.
I mean, maybe they were getting in the car. I don't know.
Yeah, they were just extreme. It seemed like his kids were always in the car, and they were always just really up this driveway's ass for no particular reason.
I don't know. We were in Oakland for a little bit, right? Parking's tight. You got to try to make a spot when you can.
Yeah, but we didn't just like sit in the car and wait for people to back.
Yeah.
That was, I wasn't like questioning that they were parked so close. Although they were in like a nice suburb, though. It seemed like they were like, she lived in a one family house by herself.
Yeah, with a front yard and a backyard big enough to throw a picnic. So how is street parking so limited?
Yeah. And at some point, when she's fighting with the guy, she leaves the house, which was her house before. And she just goes to stay with her mom. So the guy's just living in the house by himself, which I thought was great.
There was a huge lapse of time. Like, the amount of time that this movie spans was not really covered. You'd find out a scene was like months later. And it kind of took you by surprise.
She's talking to her mom, and she's like, oh, it's been a couple months. And then they get married, or they get engaged, and I have no idea how long that time frame is. So she's talking to her mom, and that's a couple months. I mean, I think it's been like a year or 2 years, but like they make birthdays kind of a big deal, and it doesn't seem like there's multiple birthdays. So like they're 29, they're about to turn 30, they talk about, and that seems to be like they never see like, oh, I'm 30 now, I'm 31, whatever. I think she even says she's 29 at the end of the movie. So it seems like maybe it's over the course of a year.
Yeah, that's a fair time frame.
And, you know, that's sort of it, like, in the movie. Not a lot happens. They fight and make up, I guess, is the sort of the overall thing. So what did you think of it? You seem to have some issues with it. What are your sticking points on this movie?
I didn't like this movie. However, right. I think that I'd consider it to be a good movie. I'm just not its target audience. Right. You know, because I'm not a millennial lesbian.
Right, but you're the same age as these people, so I don't think the age is the issue. It's just that you're not a lesbian, maybe.
Maybe
but
I thought
only,
I'd...
Only one of the characters was a lesbian.
Every supporting character was a lesbian.
Yeah,
they somehow found this outdoor bar that was only attended by lesbians.
Yeah, was it a bar? Because they seemed to be there all the time, like broad daylight, so I thought it was like a brunch place that would just serve liquor also.
So alcoholism was just a major theme in this movie. Apparently every late 20s something female just incessantly drinks. Like every scene they have a bottle of scotch, bottle of vodka, they're drinking wine, watching America's Next Top Model, and you know, they're drinking Bloody Marys at this brunch spot, but they're never eating.
Well, yes, yeah, these are not large women. One of these actresses could have played the second lead in The Layover, and it would have been a more believable contrast, you know, with Kate Upton's character when they wanted to do all those scenes, because these are kind of shorter, skinnier women than what we were dealing with in the other one. But yeah, they didn't seem to drink a lot, but it wasn't like alcoholism was brought up so much as it was just they seemed to drink. The only time it was really brought up was when it was used as an excuse to stay over or not stay over. So like very early on, there's that scene where they're all watching Top Model together, the three of them. And Paige is telling Sasha, you know, don't have too much to drink. You'll have to drive home. And then she sort of decides to go in for the cock block by being like, oh, is this guy staying the night? Sort of trying to make it awkward for them. Because she seems to not want her friend to have a relationship. Like, why? I mean, she just takes such a turn, you know, so early. Was the issue I had was that the Sasha character just seemed like really unpleasant. Like even the people at work seemed to not like her.
Oh my God, they hated her. And you never got the impression as to why, other than maybe she's just this kind of useless receptionist that's always on Facebook and just dicking around all day and not really doing her job well.
She seemed to not do a job. She got fired at the end, I think.
Yeah.
For not shipping the package, which like you knew she wasn't going to do because, you know, she was sort of obsessing over some gossip, I guess. But I mean, the thing is, she didn't seem to be distracted by anything else so much as she was just distracted by not wanting to do a job.
Yeah.
And yeah, she fights with the person who had her old job, Valerie. She sort of has like that scene with her where she doesn't like she doesn't buzz the door and makes the girl walk into the door several times for seemingly no reason. But like every aspect of Sasha's life just seems to be bad because she just makes it bad for no reason. But I'm not sure who the movie wants us to empathize with. You know?
Who do you think is the main character? It's got to be Sasha.
Yeah. Well, see, I thought... I mean, Paige is at the center of both relationships. I mean, Tim's a non-character. Tim has no personality. Sasha has some character growth, maybe? But I don't know what it is. I mean, their relationship is... I mean, Paige has the actual growth of, you know, learning to apologize and... you know, making up with really, you know, fixing both the relationships in her life. Sasha, I guess, has a conversation with Tim at the grocery store one day, and then they sort of do their little fake road rage bit and hug in traffic is sort of how Sasha and Paige, you know, repair their relationship. Mm-hmm. And then I think they say that Sasha's singing at her wedding or whatever it is. But I mean, I think it has to be Paige, right?
I would have said Sasha.
Right. Yeah, see, I think so that's the issue. But, like, how could you, as an audience member, empathize with Sasha at all?
I have no idea.
I mean, she doesn't want anything, and she doesn't do anything. And we see her sitting at with her guitar, not playing music.
Yeah, failing to write, even though her parents are financing her life, and she has this receptionist job, which I guess isn't enough.
She also doesn't seem to want to do that.
Yeah, hates that, hates music, hates everyone she's dating. She
doesn't like dating. She likes hanging out with her friend, but it's... I mean, she has a social life. They go to some events. They go to How Many Lesbians in a Subaru? They go to... what do you call it? Strap-on sword fighting. They go to the Pride Parade. They go shopping for clothes in the men's section. They do a lot of sort of stuff. It seemed like a lot of the movie just wanted to have scenes where they're doing lesbian things, I guess, for no plot-relevant reason. Like, which, I don't know, it just seemed to take some steam out of the movie because it seemed like that's, like, it seemed like they wanted to tell a different movie for some of it, was... where it was more in that culture, but they kept getting yanked out by the, you know, the Tim Page storyline, which sort of didn't seem to be what they wanted to write.
Did you happen to look up any director commentary on this one?
I didn't, but I did look up something about the directors, and they do appear to be, you know, sort of the main characters. It does seem to be semi-autobiographical.
Okay.
So it might just sort of depend on who is writing which part or how much influence was involved there. So, I mean, that's sort of the whole movie, I guess. I mean, I thought Paige's sort of, you know, character flaw was a thing, I guess, but wasn't, I don't know, it didn't seem debilitating in any way, and also didn't seem to... I wasn't really clear that she had it until the movie just told me she had it.
Oh, you didn't think she was incredibly self-righteous, condescending, controlling? You weren't picking up any of that?
I mean, she didn't like how the guy dressed, and her mother told her to sort of train him, which you're like, okay, that's just sort of, you know, bad relationship advice. And she sort of maybe did that, but he doesn't seem to care. And she also kind of watched the movie with him. And I mean, I think they wrote her to be too sympathetic of a character for this movie to work, really. Because I found myself constantly sort of on her side. You know, I mean, when she backed into the guy was parked very close to her. So you got the impression that, you know, she was definitely texting. You even have that insert shot of her texting.
Mm-hmm.
So she was definitely in the wrong. But, I mean, she wasn't really being crazy about it. I mean, the actress, I think, can sort of play very unlikable if she wants. which she did in some scenes, but overall the character just seemed okay. She was just, I mean, she was a successful, you know, environmental lawyer. She tried to, you know, set a friend up. She tried to, you know, learn more about her boyfriend. She, I mean, even when she was sort of upset with his silly tease and his whatever, she sort of just went along with it.
Oh, no, I thought she followed her mother's advice to put out, and, you know, while he's wearing different clothes in order to train him. And he's like, oh, okay, nice. I got to remember that. I'll wear more plaid.
Yeah, she does sort of train him on that, but, like, there's never a point where it's, like, super confrontational. Like, you've seen, like, in other movies, like, in Happy Ending sort of does a thing where she's really doing the same thing in terms of his clothes and his apartment. And that she's a lot more sort of confrontational about it and a lot more overt about it. Whereas this, she's just like, oh, I wish he would dress better. When he dresses better, I'll, you know, be more affectionate and, you know, he'll learn. And, like, he, I guess, picks up on that. But, like, I don't know. I didn't find that unlikable about her, really, that she had things she wanted. And, I don't know, she kept seeming supportive of Sasha. She threw her a birthday party. You know, they went to a motel for whatever reason and played games and went to a motel pool. I don't know why any of that happened, but that was definitely a scene. You know, I don't know. Like, she just wasn't unlikable enough for me to take anybody else's side, except for the one time she was supposed to be wrong. And then they had a fight. Then 2 days later, she apologized and put on a message tee. You know, that said epic fail, and everyone made, you know, they all made up. Like, the guy Tim didn't seem upset, so how could I be that upset? I don't know. That was sort of what I got. Like, I just didn't dislike her. I liked her until she was kind of being annoying for one scene, and then I was sort of back with her the next scene, so. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's the I mean, I just found Sasha completely unrelatable, because she just, it seemed like there was no pleasing her, right?
Yeah.
You know? So that's. So, oh, in, you know. So at the end, you get Sasha's going to sing at the wedding. She's also wearing a tux. Sasha says several times throughout the movie that she doesn't want to look like a lesbian.
Yeah, she's supposed to be this barely lesbian.
Right, but she dresses as stereotypically lesbian as you can, right?
Yeah.
She's dressed like a lumberjack in half her stuff, and then wearing, you know, denim overalls in the other scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all she owns, is various brands of that. It was just sort of weird that the character kept insisting she didn't want to look like a lesbian, but that was sort of the costumings department. Like, yeah, pick a lane, I guess. Or I didn't know if that was supposed to be like sort of a character, you know, moment, or just, it came up like 5 times though.
Well, I was confused as to how they weren't more fashionable. I think there were, like, 4 scenes where they went shopping for clothes. And I don't know if that was, you know, Paige shopping for Tim or Sasha shopping for herself. But they seem to be in the fashion world and actually have, like, a concern for it. So for her to just wear overalls all the time and then complain about or say that she doesn't want to look like a lesbian, how could she not figure this out?
Right, yeah, I don't think going to a store to buy clothes means in the fashion world. But, yes, they do go to a department store at some point, and Sasha does pick up some boys' clothes, some clothes, and say, oh, this will, you know, Tim could wear this, and, you know, they go, oh, yeah, we're in the boys' section. So it's, like, clearly intended by the film to say that this is how she shops. But, yeah, it's not clear, but she's always dressed pretty stereotypically. But Paige is dressed, you know, the opposite. She's dressed, you know, more feminine and just more standard business, you know, professional woman. So it's kind of weird that Paige just, Sasha kept saying, I mean, really hopping on that. She's kind of a little, I don't know, because there's also sort of the element of she dates the girl who then sort of decides she's bisexual.
Vanessa,
yeah, who is Sasha's friend's ex, maybe?
Yep.
And there was some drama related to that. But then she kissed a guy who was helping her with writing and says, I think I'm, maybe I'm not gay. I think it was implied that she was bisexual, which is sort of weird. The movie had like a couple sort of self-hating gay moments, and then a little sort of some homophobic tropes, sort of, you know, biphobic tropes built in that was, I thought, was sort of weird for a movie that was sort of so, you know, ingrained with lesbian culture to kind of go to that well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was something that could have sort of stuck out to me. So then I just had a few you know, quick hit discussion questions for you.
Let's hear them.
Yeah. Okay. So do you think we're supposed to get the impression that Sasha is attracted to Paige? Like, romantically?
No. I don't think that was what the movie was going for. Why, were you getting a lot of that?
Well, I was confused by it. I was. And, you know, their first scene together, you know, one of the scenes, you know, early scenes, they have a lot of sleepovers. So they're laying in bed together. She, you know, gives her the pillow she knows is her favorite. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they sort of do, she's checking for lumps on her boobs or whatever. They talk about that for a little while. But sort of the pillow thing seemed sort of like an intimacy thing that maybe goes beyond, you know, most friends. I don't know if it meant to demonstrate that she just knew her really well, but clearly that she, you know, knew her in the sense that they sleep over a lot. And then that combined with sort of the, you know, couple scenes later when she seems really distressed that Paige is on a decent date.
Yeah.
Very, very early on, I got the impression, okay, is the movie trying to go with the, oh, she's attracted to her the whole time, you know, and it's sort of that type of movie. And it didn't seem to play out that way, but I also thought there were moments hinting at that that seemed strange in, you know, in the overall context. But you didn't pick up on, you didn't sort of get that impression at all?
I thought that might happen because the movie's called Life Partners.
It's called Life Partners.
But I just thought it was about two close female friends. I don't think that the gay one had the interest in Paige. But
sure. So another thing is that they say at one point, it seems like there's sort of a recurring theme of Paige telling Tim too much information about Sasha.
Yeah.
Sort of to her annoyance. And one of the things she tells her is that she's into Latinas. That's sort of the first one, I think. But it seems like every girl that we see Sasha dating is sort of a petite blonde woman. Similar to Jillian Jacobs.
Ah, okay.
So that also, I mean, because there are, you know, there's sort of the older brunette woman that she tries to set her up with. She's not interested in. There's the other lesbians we see are the brunette lady, Jen, with two N's, I think. The one black lady, Jen, with one N. And then one of Jen's girlfriends is sort of a shorter-haired black lady. So there's a variety of, you know, lesbians sort of circling throughout the movie. But she only seems to date skinny blonde women who looked, you know, similar to Jillian Jacobs. So I didn't know if that was just a casting thing or if that was sort of, I don't know, supposed to be, you know, emblematic of her attraction to,
yeah,
to that character.
If she wanted the relationship to go somewhere else. I mean, whenever they're having that pillow party, she does make it a point to say, she does say something along the lines of, I only like you, or you're the only person I like. I hate everyone but you. So maybe you're onto something there.
Yeah, I think Paige says to her, this is why I don't have a boyfriend, because I spend all night looking at my lesbian best friend's boobs. I just want to meet a guy I like as much as you. And then I think Sasha says to her, I hate everyone but you. So, yeah, I mean, there's sort of that, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I've heard, so the relationship in a lot of the sort of the reviews what sort of blurbs I saw was defined as codependent.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Do you feel like this relationship was codependent?
No. Paige seemed to be able to move on pretty seamlessly while still maintaining some semblance of a friendship with Sasha, and Sasha just couldn't handle it whatsoever. So it's singularly dependent?
Right, so when I looked up codependent, because I just saw it popping up a lot, and you know, I wasn't sure if I was reading it right. It says, you know, people rely on each other, you know, dependent relationship, people rely on each other for love and support. Both find value in the relationship. That seemed to me what they did. They both seemed to value each other. There was never a point where Paige sort of didn't want a part of her. It says in a codependent relationship, the codependent person feels worthless unless they're needed by and making drastic sacrifices for the enabler, who's the other person. Now, it didn't feel like Sasha was making a lot of sacrifices for Paige, really.
Maybe if you compare the level of detail she went and level of effort she put into the celebration of her winning her first case, and compared to the shitty fucking empty motel pool with just the two of them birthday party that Paige threw for Sasha, maybe there was supposed to be some disparity there. I don't see Sasha making all sorts of sacrifices for Paige. It's just like baseline effort to throw a party for your friend. Nobody else is even there. Like it would have made more sense if other people were at the party.
That was the other thing. She seemed to just be sitting in a room with a cake
and not in the kitchen.
She had previously invited other people to the party, which is when we first found out about it. So was this actually a party, or was it just she bought a cake?
She bought a cake and pasted Paige's face on Aaron Brockovich's body because she's an environmental lawyer.
Yes, we did hear that. And was the motel party supposed to be shitty?
Maybe in comparison to the whole staying late at work and using the printer and baking a cake, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've never taken a friend to a motel for a birthday.
Maybe that's part of lesbian culture? I don't know.
But, like, it seemed like Paige's house was just kind of nice, and they could just had a sleep over there and watch Top Model. Like, it wasn't like they went to a hotel, and it didn't seem like money was really an issue for Paige. So it seemed like if they were going to a motel, it was because they wanted to go to a shitty motel. Unless I just sort of missed something. So that was something that sort of confused the shit out of me.
I think I've heard of that before, right? Have a hotel party? I never did one, but
a hotel party.
Yeah, but that would be like a bunch of friends, not just the two of them.
Right, exactly. I mean, I just feel like if you invite one other person to a motel by the freeway, it's usually not because you're having a platonic birthday party.
Well, they did have two beds in their room.
They did have two beds. And they had, what else? They had like some kind of little games or toys or whatever. But it did seem shitty, but I didn't know if it was intentionally shitty or what they were going for. And then it's sort of the ending part of it is that she takes a phone call from Tim. And Sasha looks sad is sort of the end of that scene.
Yeah, even though there was nothing that Paige would have done or could have done at that time, she just like needed to step out and call her boyfriend for 5 minutes. And that just rocked Sasha's world, apparently.
Yeah, it seems like everything, like, it seems like Sasha has an unhealthy attachment to Paige.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if that's what the movie thinks is happening. You know? It seems like the movie thinks that she has a reasonable attachment to Paige, and she really lost something when Paige got a boyfriend. You know, something that she needed. And that you know, because he kind of gives the speech saying as much. And it seemed like that was sort of the movie's thesis statement was, oh, you still have someone to talk to at night. I don't have anybody. And it kept kind of cutting to her at the fast food place. And then she breaks down crying because they have no mozzarella sticks.
What a move. I can't get any Jack-in-the-Box mozzarella sticks. And she starts bawling her eyes out. I mean, you haven't even mentioned that she went to Jack-in-the-Box one other time. And who does that? Who goes through a drive-thru and then sits in the parking lot and eats the mozzarella sticks? I guess, is that part of lesbian culture too? Because that's when she meets Vanessa and like links up with her.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that she knew Vanessa. It seemed like they knew each other previously, but she sort of just like went in her car. They were sort of just hooking, you know. No, they didn't start hooking up, but they sort of just decided to join each other. Well, like, I can't imagine being in a fast food parking lot, seeing some dude kind of like, you know, giving him a look and then going to hang out in his car.
No, I think they did know each other because Vanessa was 2N Jen's ex-girlfriend who was also at that outdoor lesbian brunch bar.
Right. Okay, so we were supposed to know her from before, so we knew that they knew
her. I first saw the character of Vanessa, I was like, oh, that's Brittany Snow from Pitch Perfect. And then I had to look at the cast, and I was like, okay, who the hell is Abby Elliott?
Yeah, I think it's just some other lady.
Yeah, I'm getting blondes confused, too.
I think there's a lot of just blonde races in this movie. I think there should be like a one hair color thing. They had characters of other races. They just never entered into the plot. So, you know, they were just sort of the periphery characters that were very periphery. So, now, this is sort of something we brought up before, but it seems like in this movie and The Layover, so we're sort of on a mini series about movies, you know, about female friendship and the guys who ruin them. It's sort of the mini series we've entered into. And between these two friends, there's always sort of the conflict. So why is it so hard to write a conflict where both sides seem to have a reasonable, you know, point of anger? Because I didn't feel like in this movie, Sasha really had anything to be angry about.
Other than being angry at herself and just like her general level of angst.
She didn't seem angry at herself. She really just seemed upset that that Paige was in a relationship of any kind. So like, what would need to happen for these movies? What would need to change about this movie sort of to make the conflict more equal?
I don't know. It would have to be something that Sasha does to Paige, right?
Or like, well, to me, it seemed like Paige was just, you know, doing normal life shit, and Sasha was getting upset. So it seems like, Paige should have done something, you know, to anger Sasha, you know, in an active way, right? I mean, because at least the conflict between the two of them, who do you think we're supposed to side with? Is it supposed to be like a both sides thing? Because that's not where I landed, but I sort of think that's where the movie wanted us to.
I think you're supposed to side with Sasha, and it's weird that you eventually sided with Paige.
You think it's weird, but how would you side with Sasha? What would your thought process be? Be like, oh, how dare this woman date somebody and then get married at some point?
I'm not saying she's right. I just think that's what the movie wanted you to feel. The movie wanted you to side with Sasha.
Right, but it's the movie's job to make me feel the things it wants me to feel. And like, I don't feel like the movie did that at any point, because how the hell would I have felt like that?
I guess, like I said at the beginning, you know, I immediately found Paige to be very hateable. And so long as Sasha didn't do anything that would make me hate her, maybe that's why I ended up in her camp.
Right, but she was sort of constantly trying to undercut her friend's relationship for no particular reason. And then she was acting like really petulant at their cookout.
Oh, yeah. I mean, eventually there were chinks in the armor, and I was like, okay, I also don't like this person. The only person I really liked was Tim.
Tim seemed fine.
Yeah.
They kept trying to like make him, you know, sort of annoying or whatever, but he's a dermatologist, which is a real respectable profession. You know, he's a doctor, and he's even one of the better kinds of doctors, not some kind of just gas jockey or something, you know? I mean, he wears graphic tees, I guess, as like a character flaw, but then she just doesn't want him to, so he doesn't do that. And I guess sometimes he overshares stuff, but it's all stuff that Paige has told him, so it's really kind of on her.
Yeah, to have clarified to him, hey, you can know about this, but please don't bring it up in front of Sasha.
Yeah, like, he really does that a couple times, and it's really stupid, but I don't know. But, like, anytime it seems like he doesn't really get mad about anything, like, I don't know, he gets insulted by Vanessa, and he's sort of just like, oh, yeah, I'm a privileged, you know, I'm a rich douchebag or whatever, like, what can you do? And then, you know, he finds out this sort of the moment where she talks about, oh, I slept with this guy after an hour, and he's like, oh, this guy, oh, well, I'm over it, you know, like, it's just like, any, like, I don't know, like, he was just there. I mean, he was just there to facilitate her being in a relationship, which is fine, but yeah, you can't dislike him because he's just a non-character.
Well, I think he played an integral role in the whole theme of the Big Lebowski. You know, from him quoting the Big Lebowski in, like, the beginning, and that being a point of contention between him and Paige, right? Because he sits there and endures America's Next Top Model and, like, feigns interest and says, okay, so these two are sisters. Okay, so what's her deal? And that, like, pisses Sasha off, which was peculiar to me because in the prior week's episode of America's Next Top Model, she's, like, screaming at the screen in the episode of People's Couch. And I was like, okay, how does she not view this as par for the course? Is she really that upset that Tim is interrupting the show to just understand it better?
Right. It didn't seem like they had a silent viewing before.
No. Why did she automatically or somehow develop this, you know, insane level of interest in the content of what was going on, as opposed to just enjoying herself and kind of like bitching at the screen and it's happening in the background?
Yeah, I wasn't sure what we were supposed to think there. One thing that came up a couple times was that Tim and Sasha had similar taste in movies, because every time Paige mentioned a quote, Sasha would know what it was from.
Yeah.
And that sort of never turns into anything. Like, they never really bond over it or develop any kind of relationship.
Well, I thought whenever they had the heart-to-heart in the grocery store about their mutual disdain for what Paige has become, you know, after Paige had the fight with Tim and after Sasha had the confrontation in the driveway with Paige, that heart-to-heart, like, I thought they had more in common at that point, and I was hoping that Tim would be saved from a future with Paige and would just start dating Sasha and turn her straight. Like, I was like, oh, this is a great heart-to-heart. Okay. You guys can have a movie quote reference this party. Okay,
so you thought that he was going to make her not a lesbian anymore in order to facilitate that?
I thought she may have had a similar reaction that Vanessa had, you know? All he needed to do was kiss her, and then it would generate feelings that she could also then turn bisexual like Vanessa did.
You think he could just turn her bisexual?
I don't know. The other guy did it to Vanessa.
With his kiss? Yeah. Yeah, so I guess that didn't happen.
No.
That would have been a turn for this movie if this guy was able to kiss her, especially this guy who is a complete blank slate, is able to kiss her into, you know, kiss the gay away, I guess is what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but that, so yeah, so I think your view of the movie was heavily shaped by you disliking Paige, and mine was from disliking Sasha. So we sort of watched completely different movies, because we were sort of empathizing with completely different characters here. And then also just Tim was there the whole time.
But did you, do you think it's a good movie? Did you like the movie?
Did I like the movie? I definitely watched the movie. And I definitely took a lot of notes on the movie. I don't know what the movie was trying to do. So I have to imagine that it didn't do it well, because I don't know what the fuck it was trying to do.
If you had to summarize what you think the message of the movie was and to whom that message was trying to be delivered to.
Yeah, well, because it's a message Okay, so what do you think the message was?
I thought the message was from, like, you know, Generation X or Baby Boomers to Millennials, particularly women. And I don't know if it was specifically directed toward lesbians or just all millennial females. Quit being spoiled twats and be decent human beings and grow the fuck up.
Okay, so that is not what I thought. I did not think it was to the millennial lesbians of the world, grow up. I did not think that was the message. That seems like you think most of the message was directed at Sasha, who is the character you liked the whole time.
I think she was the main character.
But she doesn't really experience a ton of growth throughout the movie.
No, I think it's just a depiction of her angst, and that's all you're supposed to take from it. Like, the challenges of one of her best friends who then starts dating somebody.
Right, but like, I've had friends who started dating people.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's annoying that they have less time. But I don't know. I feel like... But especially since she didn't seem to dislike the guy, I can't imagine that I'd ever, like, want to sabotage or just sort of have a general disdain for them being in relationships in that way, because they don't have... It doesn't even seem like she needed her for that time, though. You know? It was like she just wanted her to be on call, but also never really needed her. So I couldn't imagine what... It seemed like the message was... It seemed like the theme of the movie was how relationships change as people grow up and as their lives change. It seemed the overarching thing.
And The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Oh, okay.
So I can't speak to that. Is that something that happens in that movie? Is that
clear? You know, for the for the six individuals that stumble across Uncle Takes and leave their podcasts on autoplay and end up in episode 2, this movie has a lot of references to The Big Lebowski, not only in like the initial quotes and Tim's general infatuation with the movie, but the first cut scene where they're moving in together, like he's carrying a rug, and that was a central theme to The Big Lebowski. Like, oh, that rug really brought the room together. The second time they're having movie night, Tim's drinking a White Russian. What else do we have?
Well, he references The Big Lebowski a lot, but isn't like... Is it thematically related to that movie, or is that just a movie they reference?
No, I think it's just clear that whoever put this movie together, wrote this movie, directed it, really loved The Big Lebowski.
I guess. But it just seemed so non-integrated. Because he also quoted Talladega. It seemed like it was also supposed to be about other movies, but they also just didn't do the work to ever talk about them. Because he just quotes Talladega Nights once or twice, and then it's just sort of, that's it.
I think the Talladega Nights references were limited to he wakes up in the morning and pisses excellence, right? Tim delivers that one. And then Sasha was like, can you believe this? Or something. She tells the two Jens, and they immediately start quoting, was it the Big Lebowski there? Or no. Aaron Brockovich. And like the Gen 1.0 says, these are my breasts, Ed, which is a quote from Aaron Brockovich. So I think quoting movies is like a recurring thing in this movie.
Right, but The Big Lebowski seemed to be more central to the movie than anything else. And there was just occasional other quoting from whatever, which, fine, but I didn't know if The Big Lebowski thematically tied to this movie. It was just
no,
a movie that they referenced.
Just a movie they referenced, okay. That Tim loves.
Tim does love it, is the only thing we know about the character Tim. Really, the only
that thing. He's willing to share the personal information that his significant other shares about her best friend directly to her best friend's face without shame.
Yeah, and it's always stuff about, like, her sexual history.
Why?
So, like, that's, like, the one thing that makes Tim unlikable. It's about her really liking Latinas and sort of like fetishizing this lesbian, and then it's the signature move thing, which is based on Vanessa, something Vanessa kept saying apparently when they were sleeping together, that everything was her signature move. So it just seemed weird that he kept mentioning that, and it was sort of brought up once, but it never really mattered. He was never really portrayed as the bad guy for constantly repeating this shit. It was more about Paige sharing it.
Yeah.
So I don't really know where they were going with that. But either way, see, so that's the thing. I guess the movie was not not great, but at the same time, I have to imagine we're as far away from the target audience as possible.
Well, it's amazing that this movie has any audience whatsoever. I don't know if you happen to look up what the box office results were, but take a guess at how much money this had at the box office.
For worldwide. 800,000.
No, you're off by a factor of 100. It registered $8,300. Less than 1,000 people have seen this movie.
That's strange, because this is like, this has actual actors in
yeah.
it. Yeah. Like Kate McKinnon is in it for a moment.
Yeah, she's one of Sasha's bad dates. The what's the guy's name? The neighbor, Mark Feuerstein.
He's in
West
things.
Wing
he's
in Sex Royal, and City.
In Royal Pains, he's the lead in that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it definitely had a budget to this movie. For it to have only generated $8,300 in box office is just, what an embarrassment.
Yeah, it seems like it maybe just wasn't distributed. But, I don't know if we're just sort of misevaluating it or if it was just a misfire. I mean, I can certainly relate. If the main themes are about friendships, I feel like we could relate to that. Because the lesbian stuff is completely incidental, it seems like.
So, a big part of the movie, yes, incidental.
It seems like if there's a movie I could relate to, it'd be like, okay, your friends get married, and then they become the worst, and then, whatever, like, that sounds like I've lived through that several times,
Yeah, but you still didn't connect with the movie, even though you've lived these same things?
No, because in this movie, I would be the Sasha character, and even if I'm aimless in my life and career, I don't know. I'm not like constantly trying to sabotage my friends or just like really upset that my friends have jobs and relationships.
Because that's like a normal response, right? You understand that sometimes your friends are going to get significant others and their time is going to be consumed.
Right, yeah. Especially if I don't have any kind of beef with the person. It's not even like she didn't like the Tim guy, so I don't know. It just like the part that was supposed to be relatable seemed completely unrelatable because the character just seemed so poorly written. Like, how could you empathize with her? So, final question. Last thing, and sort of just an overarching thing from our miniseries. It seems like female friendships in movies are based off reality television.
Oh, it's central. Yeah. I mean, I guess all females in their late 20s just really bond over watching reality television together. This is two for two, that where we have episodes of People's Couch within the movies. Like, I don't watch a lot of movies.
No, okay, so is People's Couch a show, or is it a subsection of reality
TV? It's a show of people watching reality television. I don't know if it's like a YouTube thing or a Hulu thing.
Oh, it's a separate show.
It's a separate show.
Where people watch a third show.
Yes.
And comment on it, so it's like a reaction show. Mm-hmm. So we're doing... Okay, so this is very meta. Accidentally. Okay, so the question is, which show would our friendship or any other friendships in your life be based on? If they were based on... If they were, sort of grounded in a shared watching of reality TV.
I don't think I watch enough reality television in order to answer that.
So perhaps you just don't have enough friendships then. Because that appears to be central. So now me and Josh, I would say Millionaire Matchmaker. Or really anything on Bravo.
What's the Bridalplasty?
Bridalplasty, that's a good one.
Yeah. So your question is for me and you? Or for me?
Yeah. Well, anybody in your life, do you have any reality TV-based friendships?
No. I try to avoid reality television like the plague. I was pretty clear about that in episode one.
Yeah, it hasn't been working throughout these movies. Okay, well, so I think we learned a lot about lesbian friendships and about reality television and a little bit about The Big Lebowski.
So if you were to rate this movie.
If I had to rate this movie.
Is it a nephew or an uncle?
I mean, I think this movie is definitely a nephew. It is not as bad as the last movie.
I don't think anything could be that bad.
Although, I will say that I enjoyed watching it less, I guess.
Really?
Because it was less outrageous.
Okay.
And I kept the last movie, I never expected to get good.
But you were still hopeful throughout this one.
This movie had like good actresses and I don't know, seemed like it wasn't trying to be a spectacle. So I assumed it was trying to be a movie. And then it was sort of neither.
Gotcha.
So that was disappointing because it just kind of ended. Nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
You know, it was like the two friends fought and then they stopped fighting. But there were no stakes because, like, what were they going to do? And then that was it. So that's sort of how I felt about it. I wanted to like it a lot more than I did. You know?
Yeah.
Like, the start seemed fine. You know, you kind of knew it was going to happen, but you sort of hoped that it played out better. It seemed like there were a lot of like sort of drop threads, like you kind of thought something was going to turn into something, and it never really did. I don't know. What was your overall opinion of this?
I think I'd have to give it. Can I give a half an uncle?
Or is it a whole? You can give like a half.
I'll give uncle. A half uncle on this one.
Like a step.
Yeah, uncle. A step uncle. Yeah, an uncle good. Twice removed. I don't know.
I think
it's you know, I think it was a good movie. I don't think I'm its target audience, and I don't like the movie. I would never watch it again.
You'll never watch it again.
No, even though I'm like a third of its viewership.
we are most of its viewership, and it's a little bit unfortunate. So we won't be recommending it to the good folks at home. Now, do you think we should continue watching movies centered around female friendships?
I don't know. I think we need to reorganize our list and evaluate what we do in future episodes because
it seems like all our movies are sort of about the central
premise. We're quickly narrowing, you know, putting ourselves into this niche market.
Right. And we don't know anything about it.
No.
And that's sort of the issue we're having. Maybe we need some special guests on it. We'll get some special guests, you know, on the podcast to sort of help balance out that lack of knowledge. We'll look into that.
Maybe we can convince somebody to watch either The Layover or Life Partners, and then do like a follow-up 15-minute segment.
I can't imagine anyone wants us to talk about these movies for any more time. This got pretty meandering. But we do have some other movies that we have picked out, and then we have a little bonus mini series with, you know, Josh coming up. So I think we got a lot of stuff planned. So I think that's our show. So we got a half uncle on this one. So you can do with that what you will, and we'll see you next
Alrighty.
Time.
Alrighty.
Okay, we have endings. Okay.